Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to a special episode of Triple Chalice Tarot. I am your host, Rowan Nix, here with my two co-hosts, Tarouk Fishal.
Hello.
And Aluna Odette.
Hello.
And tonight is a very special episode because we're going to be talking about psychic self-defense, what it is, why it's important for tarot readings, as well as some techniques, tips, and tricks that'll help you guard yourself from any unwanted energies or negative thoughts, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So I think we're going to begin with Mr. Tarouk Fishal, and I just want to know, why do you think it's important to guard yourself during tarot card readings when you're open and telling someone all this information?
Well, I feel that it is important for the reader to protect him or herself from a host of energies and entities, not only the spirits that are out there that are being attracted to the occult ritual that is happening, because a tarot card reading is an occult ritual that you are performing, okay? So not only protecting yourself from entities that are attracted by what's going on, but also by the person who you are reading, because a lot of the times these people may have parasites on them. They themselves might be psychic vampires. So you have to basically shield yourself, and we'll get into the shielding techniques later, but yeah, that's why I believe that it's important.
Now, when you say parasites, what are you referring to?
Well, it could be entities that may never have had a human body that leech onto the person. That could be a thought form, an egregore, you know. Things that feed off of negative energy, things that the person deals in their life that cause fear or negative emotions that they're clinging onto, that they may come to you for a reading asking why isn't, money coming through, or why they can't find employment, things like that. And there may be a psychic vampire entity behind that, you know, that when you're doing this reading, they may see you and want to latch onto you.
I really enjoyed that explanation. I think especially if you're talking about someone asking a question, as you were just saying, it can definitely bring that to the forefront of someone's aura. So you're almost doing a summoning even when you're just reading somebody's, you know, getting like a diagnostic of them. Aluna, what would you say is important and why should we guard ourselves while doing readings, et cetera?
Well, definitely as an empath, we just naturally have the gift, the ability to feel deeply and just fully, more than a lot of people, you know. So when it comes to performing a reading with someone, you actually take on their question, their problem, their concern. At least I feel I do, because I very much, when I'm in that method of being an oracle for someone, I really am trying to genuinely help them see solutions or avenue or perspective to their question or problem. And a lot of times you come across people that their energy might be skeptic of yours, okay? They might be testing you, and the signaling that they might be sending might not be, it might just be a repellent type energy between you and they. So I think guarding yourself and also being strong within your own sort of center and space as a reader, developing your own style and being true to that also makes, you know, it's like you're guarding more of your dignity and integrity as a reader, and then you go into the bigger bubble of things, like you guys were saying, with dealing with the entities and other parasites and things of that nature. So, yeah.
Definitely, definitely. So would you say that you're basically like a sponge, sort of, that you take in the energy from the person that you're reading and you sort of filter it through yourself and give it back purer than it came in?
Yes, yes, absolutely. I find every reading that I normally give, I'm also picking up a lesson from the cards too. As I'm orating and giving my advice, I'm seeing little avenues in which some of the cards are reflected in my life as well. So I am a sponge in that regard, because I do take on what they're talking about and what their concern is, which, I mean, it's either love, finances, or what am I going to do with myself? Pretty much the generalized questions. And then there are some people who obviously have more in-depth concerns, but that's normally what we all are concerned about, the maternal things and things that we need here on this plane right now. So you are indeed sucking in, and you are indeed taking on their personal situation and their problem, in a sense. So you have to be mindful of that. Mm-hmm.
Definitely, definitely. And I know, me personally, I make everything into like a little ritual, like Tarik was sort of saying, when you are reading someone, it is basically an occult ritual, because the tools themselves are sacred. Me personally, whenever I'm reading anybody, I always ask for a little cup of water and I'll put salt in it. I usually carry around just a little bottle of Florida water, which I love using for everything. And I use it and I consecrate the water and I cleanse myself. I ask the other person to cleanse. And that's just one of the tools that I use in my arsenal, because being pagan, we have the axiom that as above, so below. So as they cleanse themselves physically, they're also cleansing themselves energetically. So even before they come into contact with my sacred tools, they're purifying themselves, which can get rid of a lot of that negative miasma and the thoughts and the emotions that they may have flooding around inside of their aura. Tarik, do you have any tips or techniques that you use to employ when you read somebody?
Well, definitely like what you said about the water with salt, I agree. That is a very good formula that one can use to soak up negative energy. I do also carry with myself and in my cards, actually, like where I keep my cards, I have my amethyst crystal, also obsidian. It's very good with soaking up and repelling negative energy throughout, you know, my scrying mirror, my crystal ball, which I do sleep with sometimes. that repels and soaks up negative energy. Yeah, and even with the visualizations, you know, visualizing the white light around you and repelling negative energy, you know, those are all good things to do when you're a reader.
Definitely. It seems that you're kind of going into the whole shielding aspect of it as well. Aluna, do you use shielding at all when you read, or what's your process usually?
Well, I think I find, being an empath, the most, you know, our gift basically is being able to connect deeply with people and feel. So I wouldn't say when I'm reading for a person I shield necessarily, unless I feel threatened, unless I feel an energy that is, that they are skeptical or they are sort of challenging me in a way and I'm sort of being mocked. And I've come across people like that. But my thing is making sure my cleansing process, I have a cleansing ritual that I do where I sage myself. Okay, I go through saging and smudging of myself and my own personal space, my own personal auric feel, and as well as my cards too. Also using the moon and sun's energy, natural energies and grounding techniques for dispersing of that energy, putting it back into the earth and back into the collective conscious, you know?
Definitely. I know exactly what you mean. And it also seems that we all sort of read in different ways. From what you're saying, Aluna, it seems that you take in the energy through maybe like your heart chakra, and you're doing it through emotions and trying to relate to someone empathically and emotively before, you know, reaching into the higher subconscious and getting messages, etc. Whereas Tarik, it seems like it comes directly from, let's say, the crown chakra or the third eye chakra, where it's all straight from the stream of conscience, and it doesn't really enter into, you know, the emotive state. Would you agree with that, Taruk, or?
I would absolutely agree with that as well.
Mm-hmm.
That was a great observation. Yes, very good.
Well, I'm always fascinated by how different readers do things differently, because everybody is different. You know, we're all snowflakes. We all have our own patterns and processes, et cetera. I want to go back to shielding because it is a fundamental technique. Just for me, it's day-to-day. And Taruk started us off with it. So why don't you go ahead and define shielding for the kids listening at home, at what it is, as well as maybe elaborate a little bit more on what you do for yourself to shield.
Sure, definitely. Well, first we have to talk about the reasons why you're shielding. You know, maybe mm-hmm. you've been feeling tired and drained. As a person who does have psychic ability, a lot of times you're able to even detect who is draining you, who is the person who is the psychic vampire. A lot of times it may be a magical reason, a spiritual reason. Maybe you are being attacked psychically by another person, or even an entity who you match their vibration. So it may be an entity that channels and feeds off of fear, and you're in fear, or maybe you're in addiction, and there's an entity that their vibration matches with addiction. You know, whatever type of negativity you might be going through at the time, you know, an entity might latch onto you because they match where you're at. So these might be reasons to do these shieldings. And especially with a psychic vampire, a person, a lot of times these are people that you know, friends and family who want to call you, where every single time you're on the phone with them, they literally, you're tired, you're sleepy by the time you get off the phone with them, and they feel recharged and happy and just full of energy because you just spoke to them and, you know, you gave them the best advice in the world. Everybody comes to you. So I would say a lot of times you have to learn how to take time out for yourself and have breathing room, have meditation time that you are recollecting yourself, that you are recharging yourself. You know, it's a lot of times recharge yourself. Sit in a room and just collect the energy from the earth and put it through you and get the energy from the universe above you and put it through your crown chakra, you know, so from your root, the earth, and from the crown, the universe, you know, and just kind of like recharge yourself. Also with shielding, you know, visualizing a light around you, a white light that collects around you, that helps a lot. Also amplifying I sometimes amplify my chakras. I realign them. I do meditations. I have actual stones and crystals that match up with each chakra, and I lay them in the points of my body, and I do that. There's so many, and I'll just say one more. Also, one more is a return to sender, where you visualize mirrors. So you're in a purple light of energy that you create around you, and you have mirrors all around you, and you resend whatever negativity back to the person, and you do that maybe 2 or 3 times a day for a week. And one thing about this isn't a one-fix type of thing. This is something that you have to do every couple of months. You know, this isn't just one time and you're good, you know. I hope I answered the question.
No, you did. You went into so much. I definitely like that you touched on visualization, because visualization is key for anything. I know myself personally, I do something similar to what Taruk does, and in some circles it's called the middle pillar ritual, where you just take in light energy from the universe, from the sun, from the moon, like Aluna was saying, and you carry it down through each of the 7 chakra points and let it flood you and fill you and cleanse your whole being. But I add the selective visualization, and this is just me personally. I was a huge comic book fan as a child. One of my favorite, villainesses / heroines was Emma Frost from X-Men. Do you know who I'm talking about? I know she was in that latest movie that they did where she had the
Queen of Diamonds,
the glittery
right?
skin. The Queen of Diamonds, exactly, yes, thank you. But that's what I see. You know, I see myself covered in, like, gems and diamonds that are reflective and also sharp, so that anybody that is, let's say, a psychic vampire, anybody that's more intuitive, they don't get anything out of me. They just see refractions of themselves. And that's a very strong visualization you could do. But, I mean, you can do anything. You find that, you know, light works better for you, mirrors work better. Some people visualize a suit of armor or a shield of some kind. And even in cutting people out, like Taruk was saying about energy vampires and everything, or even situations, maybe you just had a fight or, you know, you're working or something and you're still thinking about work when you're home. Another tactic that you can use is to visualize the situation with a tether or a cord attached to you and then see yourself cutting that cord or blacking it out in your head with darkness or something or sending it away so that it's not feeding on you anymore, so that the situation, the energy just moves on. Because energy can't be created or destroyed, you can only change its form. And visualization is a great way to do that. What about you, Aluna? What are some of the techniques that you would use for shielding just on the day-to-day, since you don't do it for readings?
On the day-to-day, I would say, okay, so I'll tell you, as deep as I go, which is a bit more ritual and a bit more ceremonial, but I like to work with angels and higher, you know, principalities to that are reigning in that, working very familiar with Mike, our Archangel Michael, and he is definitely a protector, a warrior, someone who can grant you peace of mind. Me personally, as being trans, going into social situations, especially dealing with work and class and where I have to interact with people, you sometimes as an empath can be overloaded with just so much of seeing people go by, how they're looking at you, interpreting you, how you're interpreting them. So a lot of times it feels safer for me to walk with a guide. And sometimes I use my own angelic guide, you know, who has been with me on my life path here, which I believe. And that does grant me a sense of comfort and serenity while being in a public place. But definitely going into what you guys were saying on the more solo and mental aspect of it, it is more about projecting your energy, creating that force field, strongly visualizing and reinforcing that force field. And like Taruk said, it's something that takes dedication and practice, okay? I have to go through starting from the baby scratches again when I have to rebuff my shield, because sometimes, you know, you get a bit lazy in it and you might forget about it and then let it go on. You get so caught up in your day. But when you come back to that ritual and you can feel the membrane of it. You can feel the membrane of your protective aura. And if it feels weak, if it feels fragile, then you have to go into practices of reinforcing that. So definitely practice time, dedication, and using all the techniques that you both of you mentioned about incorporating the earth and the natural energies around you, focusing on calling down your higher selves and working with the celestial bodies like the moon and the sun. It's very good techniques, but I like to walk with angels. I think they're pretty badass. And
definitely.
They will make you feel pretty safe, definitely. So
definitely. Otherworld entities, etheric beings, etc., they can definitely do all of that for you if you're called to them, if you feel that you work well with them. I personally was never really called to work with the angels. I guess I'm more in the gray area. I'm not sure. I do have several friends that do work with angels, and they stand firmly by them. I use a lot of the nature spirits. I do a lot with Fae. I do a lot with even a lot of the Orisha and some of the Santero spirits. They are very helpful as well in that regard. It's funny that you bring up about letting your shield slip and rebuffing it and everything, because just last night I was at a social event. I was at a bar, and I normally keep my shields up pretty strong in social places, but I will admit I was drinking and I was a bit more lax and just kind of feeling the vibe of the night and just like riding the energy, etc. And this woman comes up to me and she starts talking to me about my life. And we were just talking and she starts going in on me. Basically, she was psychic. And so I guess she picked up on my vibration or my energy or whatever. And she starts telling me things about my past and my future, etc., which I didn't mind. I can tell from her energy, she was a very straightforward person. You know, some people, they want to know more about you and they want to trick you and they want to do this with you and they want to do that with you. But this person that had come up to me was very much in the light, as we say. It just caught me off guard.
So she wasn't a psychic vampire.
She was not a psychic vampire. She was actually, in my opinion, she was the reverse of a psychic vampire. She was more of a, I don't know, if you follow Charmed, it was more like a white lighter scenario where she was just coming to give me some advice from the universe. Because every now and then, you know, I'm sure both of you can attest, we are mediums for the universe. We are mediums for some motto the universe is trying to tell somebody, and they use us as its tools. So she was very much coming to me in that regard, which never underestimate your ability to be surprised. So if you're in a situation like I was in where your shields have slipped, your defenses are down, let's say, maybe you're being more trusting, etc., something I like to employ and I like to use is a talisman of some kind. I'll have a ring or a necklace or a charm, something that you like, something that you've put personal mm-hmm. energy in, and it can basically generate a shield in and of itself, just because of it, you know, you carrying it, you holding on to it, you touching it, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It's like a touchstone. Do you both have experience working with talismans, or what do you do just passively if you're not wanting to, let's say, call down the angels and call down all the higher forces and you're just sitting there?
Well, stones are pretty much – oh, okay. stones are pretty much, like Tarouk had said, pretty much come in handy when you need something really quick, and also to carry with you that's light. You can have it in your pocket. You can have it in a purse or bag. So stones, good stones like amethyst, okay, protecting the third eye, rose mm-hmm. quartz to give you your own sort of boost of sense of self-love, because, you know, a lot of times when you go out and as an empath, you that openness that you might have, it does, like you said, come from a end times. It can come from a heart chakra place. So with just so many forces and energies out there and psychic vampires, okay, and parasites and things of that nature, you know, a stone that grants you a more solitary form in that energy, you know, it's more concrete, your barrier's more sound to protect that chakra, okay, then I think the stones are pretty much come in handy. What about you, Tarouk?
Well, I personally like things like witch bottles, which are glass bottles that you, or glass jar that you fill with, you know, pieces of glass, with shards of metal, with like spikes and mm-hmm. needles and things that hurt, you know, and you also put your urine, you can put vaginal or seminal fluid, put nail clippings of yourself, even skin that you can bite off from around your fingers, you put that in the bottle because it's supposed to act as a alternative or what is that word called? Like a double of you, a psychic or energy double.
A proxy, yeah.
Yeah, so you bury it somewhere in the house, maybe even close to where your bedroom is, and whatever negative energy is coming to you, will absorb it. So that's the one way. If you're not good with visualizations and things of that nature and seeing it, that's a physical way to protection. Also, you can do herbal magic, which, you know, you can take candles. I would say like a blue or purple candle, mm-hmm. maybe even green, you know, and use herbs like rosemary. You can use vervain or garlic or basil, even mistletoe, you know, things like that. And you
bay leaves also, as well.
Yeah, you can mix that, you know, and create some kind of powdery situation you could put around the house, you know, mixed with salt as well. And like you said, salt works perfectly, you know, making a concoction, water, salt, and even some of those herbs, and you sprinkle that around the corners of the house, especially the corners, because that's where entities like to dwell, is in corners. Also, another thing that you can do is, hello, sage, you know, you can leave mm-hmm. the window open and go around the house, remember those corners, and you can basically soak the house with sage, smudge the house with sage. So there are alternatives out there for those people who maybe not perfect with their visualizations and don't know how to see, you know, light around them and see these things that people with more pronounced abilities can. There is a more mundane way, a more 1+1=2 way to protect yourself.
And keep in mind, as you're reading and as you're basically working with the spirit world, you're inviting all of these entities in. They're attracted to, I guess you could say, our light. They're attracted to the vibrations that we emit. It's sort of like, well, it's actually the reverse of like using a sound to get rid of rats, except it's something that calls the rats in. And all of these, you know, psychic vampires, energies, spirits, entities, they're all attracted to that light. So another good way to do it, even without visualization, is mottos, is affirmations. I have a very good friend of mine, and she had told me the other night that what she does is when she has a negative thought, she sits there and says, my positive thoughts are stronger, my negative thoughts are weaker. And then she'll say, whatever the situation is, you have no power over me. My power is mine. So it's definitely a mind over matter sort of a thing, where you're empowering yourself and then you're empowering your auric field just by speaking the words aloud, because words do have power. Do either of you have affirmations that you maybe employ? Taruk, we'll go with you again. Do you have anything that you maybe say to yourself before doing a reading, or even in your own head, maybe not saying it aloud?
Yeah, I tend to basically freestyle or just say whatever comes out of my mind. You know, just say things like, I protect this room, or I cleanse this room with the white light of the universe. You know, just bury in a hard, affirming, emperor-type voice. You know, you have to basically stand in confidence and command and demand that the room or you, you know, are cleansed. You have to walk in that light, assume the position of authority. And even dealing with spirits, you know, that are negative, you have to be authoritative to get these spirits out. Your energy has to be authoritative in your domain, in who you are. You cannot let nothing come and try to, you know, scare you or attack you. You have to be the king or queen of your home, and that's spiritually and energetically as well.
Definitely. What about you, Aluna? Do you have any personal mottos that you say, or any affirmations, et cetera?
Well, I usually just start by asking my cards to give me a very truthful and revealing reading for whoever I'm doing it for. Other than that, I would just, like Taruk said, just go get into the affirmation of what you actually want, what you're commanding the energies to do. So if it's to create a barrier in your room, it's to create a barrier in your room. It's to create a barrier within, around yourself, you know, in your auric field. So having that authority and just having that faith, you know, it's just sort of ooze from you and come from your throat chakra. Mm-hmm. As you're pronouncing this and commanding the forces, the energy, the vibration around you to bend and obey. And that's all there is to it, really.
Definitely. Do you also want to touch on the grounding that you do, Aluna? I know we only have a couple minutes left, but maybe you could finish us off with it.
Pretty much. Grounding is just centering yourself, sending back that energy that you've accumulated into the earth, sending it off with peace, love, and closing out, just focusing on closing out of that space and going back to regular reality. Because what you're doing when you open that space is carving out a piece of time where you yourself are in the seat of omnipotence. So with that, I'll let you go ahead and close.
Definitely. I want to thank you all so much for listening in, and thank my co-hosts, Taruk Vishal and Aluna Odette, for joining me tonight. Have a great night, and affirm your realities, everybody.
All right, good evening.